All right, and here we go live. Like I said, the minute that the other one ended, I had to pop in and get this started. That was a lot of fun to relive those happy moments. I feel pretty honored to have gotten to do that. I know that a lot of people just watched 2.5 hours of me talking with other people, so this will probably be a lot better of a stream, and that's okay. I figured it would also give people that or anybody who might be new to the channel. It's not the first time I've hung out with Kurt, so I think his fans are aware of me already. But and they either don't like me or they do. But at any rate, I suppose some of you went and watched that thing. I've had a pretty interesting day. I've been cranking out this script on Milo Rossi's response to his Sphinx video, the second Sphinx video, but my car died yesterday, and like died, like end of the world died. And so anyway, today I went and got a new car. Thank you to my supporter Doug. He helped me out with that because I just got through traveling and had spent some money. Dangerous Filthy American, Sean Dillon plus Monkey live with Meter and Measure, Mikael, and Mr. Sean Smith. How you guys doing? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the head gasket. Just cruising down the street. Actually, had just bought brakes because there was a tiny bit of a rattle, and I checked the oil and checked the transmission fluid and checked the water. And I mean, I just got back from a fucking flight. That's the first thing I always do because your car's been, I mean, that car just sat for 15 days. So the first thing I did before I did anything was check all that. And it was all in good shape, but there was a little bit of a rattle. It sounded like the brakes. And so I drive down, I pick up brakes, and I'm driving back from the place, and the intersection, like one of the busiest intersections of Spokane, I clearly wasn't the brakes. It was rattling all of a sudden, and it was just like, oh, fuck me running. And yeah, it didn't make it very far. I'm going to end up having to get it towed, but I've got another junked out car that I need to get towed to. So I'm going to hunt up both titles and get them all together and have the wrecking yard get them. I got me a brand new to me car anyway, so woohoo. That was fun. Yeah, oh yeah, I do repairs. That's what I was planning on doing, man. Like I said, I got back and I checked all my fluids. Everything was kosher. And the rattle sounded very much like brakes. The biggest one was you press on the brake pedal and the rattle would go away. And so that's what it made me. I'd never done the brakes in the car, and I've had it for a couple of years. So seemed like the obvious place to go. But anyway, yeah, the wonderful roads of Spokane. Spokane are shitty. Yeah, thanks. I felt like it was a pretty good showing. It's a lot of fun hanging out with those guys. Kurt's a force of nature that way. He's a lot like Jimmy Corsetti in the regards that when he gets excited, he's talks. And you know, I'm more of a, I'll just kind of go back and forth. And there's nothing bad about it. It's just funny. You end up just having to be like, okay, I'm gonna have to fucking interrupt you or not let you talk over me now. The new rig is a 2005 Focus because I'm a millionaire. But what do you do? It could be worse. But yeah, today was a lot of fun that way. So, what did you guys think of Blade? What do you think of oh yeah, Kurt, when Kurt gets going, for sure there's some momentum there. That's Jamar Neighbors, by the way, the comedian. He's got some absolutely fucking hilarious bits. As a matter of fact, let me pull up Instagram real quick here. And man, I need to fucking replace that little squishy bit on my S key. On my, come on. What the fuck? I can't get him on Instagram. Oh, come on now. What? I can't get him on Instagram. I have to log in. I don't have all my login shit. I'll have to pull up a bunch of other crap. But Jamar Neighbors, I'll just like one of my favorite jokes of his is when he says that he thinks that he, and for the next gender reveal party, he's going to hold his breath. And if he turns purple, it's a boy. If he turns red, it's a girl. Either way, he's going to die. Fuck that kid. It's pretty funny. That shit makes me laugh. Or he's got one where he talks about how, Allah's hooking you up with 72 virgins. That sounds like, you know, out of 72, they can't all be consenting if they're virgins. So Allah is the P. Diddy of gods. So I think Jamar's pretty fucking funny, dude. Hello. Zanafia. Yeah, none of your business. I've definitely been smoking the devil's lettuce and drinking some beers. The Mystery Boys started at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Or excuse me, 8 p.m. Pacific time. Is that right? No, 6 p.m. Pacific time. Yeah. That's the time. Mystery Boys started a minute ago. But it was a lot of fun. It was pretty funny. We can watch bits and pieces of it now. I just didn't want to ruin it live. I mean, first of all, it's ripping it off from them while they're doing it live. Second of all, then I feel like I have to pause it all the time, right? Is that 9 p.m. Eastern? Yes. I wouldn't have known that a year ago, but I do all this fucking traveling now and go hang out with people. Matt Bell started it. Blame it on him. Well, the first part was with Jamar Neighbors. Yeah, dude, I got to hang out with him a bit. He's fucking hilarious, dude. Like, when I was putting his name into my phone and I was like, I had just met him, and I was like, that's Jamal? And he's like, no, you just think that because it's racist. It's because you're racist. It's Jamar. And he's, of course, joking, right? And that is fucking, dude, that's hilarious, right? I fucking absolutely love making light of that kind of shit. So, yeah, he's fucking great. Oh, man. Well, elbow surgery. Well, good luck, Zanafia. That's rough. It's good that it's not cancer. Fingers crossed that they stay gone. Good luck with the surgery and all that. But yes, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, dude. I really like, I like Kurt, and that was the first time I got to talk to Duncan. Of course, I'd seen him on the internet before, but that was the first time I actually got to talk to him at all. I'd been on Derp with Kurt a couple of times, and I about shat myself when I was watching the Joe Rogan that Kurt was on, and Kurt's like, oh, look, Dan, or the Duncan guy, he's great, blah, blah, blah. I thought that was pretty crazy. Yeah, of course. A lot of people sent that. A lot of people were sending me that clip, and like it just blew my mind. Just blew my mind. It was pretty amazing feeling to be like, having somebody like Kurt's funny. You know, I've been watching him for like a while, and his jokes are hilarious. And he's so fun because you take any conspiracy theory. Oh, thanks. No, I thought your name was Debunking Dan, so I wasn't sure if that was a fan account or not at first. No, I know if it's Debunking. I appreciate that. None of your business. I try to kill it every time. No, but the great thing with Kurt is you take any conspiracy theory and you just put an exponent next to it. And that's where Kurt's at. It's like they're fucking, they got an island where they're chomping on babies and turning them into adrenochrome. And Kurt's like, yes, but let me tell you why. See, there's this group of people that come from the fucking planet Xenon, and not quite, but he's got layers upon layers upon layers upon layers. And anyway, I love that about the guy. It makes it so much fun to watch him and to talk to him. One of the things that it's catch 22. You know, I talk about this one a lot, but when you're getting your information on something like the Land of Chem that I've been doing a lot of live streams about, right? When you're getting your information on something like this alternate theory, you want somebody who's a true believer, generally speaking. You want somebody who's really going to be like into what they're telling you, that they really believe what they're telling you. The problem with that is when you interact with that person on an individual personal level, like I've been doing a whole lot more of in my life lately. And this I'm not talking about Jeff personally. I'm just saying that I'm talking about just in general, the people that are like hardcore believers in their theory, they oftentimes are like religious people or political zealots in the regards that they're like, you know, if I just explain this to that person a tiny bit different, they'll see where I'm coming from. And so you can end up being like assaulted by 28 fucking arguments supporting the same hypothesis while they just keep trying to do this and that. So that part can get old, and that's where interacting with comedians is such a breath of fresh air, because like live streaming with these guys, it was like, if you watch the thing, yeah, you saw, we're just joking around and cracking and being stupid, right? Well, that's fun. That's exactly what I had in mind. And so, you're not going to, I still got a chance to dispense some information, but it was in their insane stream when that was, you know, that was enjoyable. All right, what we got here? Beautiful people of Alberta check in. I've never been to Alberta, but I know some people that I've heard there are people that have been there. I won't deny it's a place like Australia. Did I get approached by or see the people behind the curtain? Is there a curtain? Now, this is important. Are we talking about a curtain near a casting couch? Are we talking about a curtain in the government? Are we talking about the Iron Curtain? Are we talking about the curtain where the Wizard of Oz kicks it? Is it just a curtain where they had the costumes for the Mystery Boys? There's a lot of different curtains that could be involved here. Lebowski reference, bunch of paraquats. Yes, there you go. That is a Lebowski reference. Zabuth. I don't understand, Sean. What are you saying there? Let me look at what you said last time. Oh well. All right, what should we talk about this time, guys? Deep state plant, CIA? All right, let's talk CIA. That's a great way to go. I never talk about that shit to begin with, so that'll make this fun and interesting, right? Okay. These are the kind of organizations that, like, when they talk deep state, obviously this is what they're referring to. And there is clearly, I mean, you know, when you've got, this isn't complicated. If you have a political system that limits certain politicians to 8 years and limits other politicians to 12 years and then limits other politicians to like never, well, you end up with people in positions of power, especially ones that aren't technically politicians, that are, they don't have their names on the things, right? You know, they just get to pull the strings. And you know, the kinds of tools the CIA ends up with, like I remember, it was in the 60s that they had the shit where they could use a laser, and maybe it was the 70s, but they use a laser and point it at the glass of a window and record the vibrations of the window and decipher what somebody was saying. Maybe it's the 80s when that happened. I suppose. Being that I'm a big boy and I have the Googles in front of me, I can probably figure this one out. Let's see. CIA laser glass. See what we got. Laser microphone. Okay. CIA laser mic. Yeah. Fuck me. The Soviet Union pioneered the earliest light-based prototype. The non-laser, invented in 1947. The true laser-based microphones emerged in the following invention of light in 1960 with the CIA. Jesus Christ. How fucking insane is that? I mean, geez Louise, man. That's the kind of technology you just can't even believe. Hey Trish, how you doing? Rogan's career is almost believable. Yeah, I would say that Rogan's career is almost unbelievable. It's pretty cool. Yeah, Dangerous Filthy American. They said that the Rescue's got the first prototype version, but it wasn't a true laser one. But yeah, same idea. And that's just fucking nuts, dude. 1947? Fucking come on. Yeah, shit's changed a lot for comedy in the last 15 years. It's been nice to see. It's been nice to see that aspect of things where comedy's been able to kind of push through where, for the longest fucking time, we weren't allowed to say anything. And let me be clear. Like, I'm old enough to have watched some stuff that was fucking not cool. Like, if I was a black dude and I was watching it, I'd be like, Jesus fuck, dude. What the fuck are you trying to just punch me in the face here? I get it. Some stuff that's, like, basically overtly offensive. But at the same time, the pendulum never fucking stops in the middle, right? So they push it right on fucking past where any sensible amount of censorship goes, and goes all the way to the other end of things. It's like you can't fucking say anything, no matter who you're saying it about or what you're saying it about. It's just like, Jesus fucking Christ, man. I mean, so I can't call me and my friends a bunch of tards. It's like, really, is that really like off the fucking table now? Or you can't make a joke? You know, I mean, the whole point of humor, not the whole point, but one of the biggest tropes of humor is subverted expectations, right? You tell the joke like, my grandpa died in the Holocaust because he was in the guard tower and he leaned out trying to shoot somebody and he fell and broke his neck, right? This is clearly not saying it's good to have concentration camps or good to kill anybody. It's you expect me to be saying my grandpa had a name tattooed on his arm, but instead I'm telling you my grandpa was the guy tattooing names on arms. It's subverting expectations, right? And this is like the number one. And so when you take away like the ability to be racist, the ability to be sexist, the ability to be homophobic, any phobic or any ist, like, when you take away that in its entire woke version of the definition of it, you end up with a fucking problem where you can't. I mean, there was a time when Bill Maher, it was about the time, you know, 10, 15 years ago, when Bill Maher started speaking out against this stuff. And I remember one of my favorite jokes of his, because Jerry Seinfeld, Larry the Cable Guy, and oh, come on, who was the other guy? Carlos Mencia. All three of them were saying they wouldn't do college campuses anymore because the kids were so so woke, basically. And so the guy, you know, me growing up, fucking Bill Maher was a pretty goddamn liberal motherfucker, right? By the time I was in my 20s, he was pretty clearly liberal. And so hearing him, but his joke was hilarious. He's like, so redneck, a Jew and a Mexican walks into a college and refuses to play. Something like that, where it's like a goddamn Norm MacDonald joke, right? But it's, anyway, it was that bad, right? So, and now we're at this spot. I think Kill Tony's been really good for that, because on Kill Tony, you know, they just crush motherfuckers. So they come out there and they're actually like just racist. They're just saying fucked up shit. They're just like, nah, dude, no, 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 no. But if they come out there and they say some fucked up shit, but it's funny and it's meant to be funny and it's not meant to be, dude, everybody's on board with it. Jamar Neighbors is a fucking laugh right alongside with that shit, dude. You just watched his reaction to the whip, right? It's anyway, I think comedy's in a good place right now, but again, the pendulum never stops in the middle. Mark my words, we don't have long before it's going to be back to being shitty again. It'll go one way or the other. Always does. Andrew Dice Clay is fucking, he was a really good actor. Watched him in that movie about, or that mini series about the, whatchamacallit, the Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson tape, and where Seth Rogen gets a loan from him to do that, to publish the tape. And then he ends up getting his ass whooped by him. Yeah. That was pretty good. No, I agree with you to a point, Dick, but a lot of the that stand up isn't the comedy scene, it's the TV and the internet. I agree with you to a point, but I'd also say that a lot of the stand up that's a lot of what's on the internet right now that's comedy is stand up. Yeah, dude, one of my favorite Andrew Dice Clay bits. People are going off on that right now in the chat. Yeah, one of my favorite Andrew Dice Clay bits was when he's like, asked the dude, he's like, "Hey, that's your girlfriend there? Yeah. So she pretty good at giving you blowjobs? Yeah. So the first time she gave you a blowjob, how was it? How the fuck do you think she got that way?" God damn, dude. Have all the things to do, like heckling the audience, man, just fucking flipping that shit right on its ear. Absolutely savage. Shown illustrated by John Shea Perrin. I have not seen that, to be honest with you. I don't get to watch as much TV as I would like, but I do watch some, but I'm on season one of Reacher right now, and it's taking me like 12 days. Well, how long have I been back? So 7 days to watch 6 episodes. So little boy blue. Yeah, dude. Yeah. Andrew Dice Clay is funny. I don't know how many of you guys have seen Timmy No Breaks. He's definitely a Andrew Dice Clay knockoff, you could even call it. Like, a lot of people call him that. Like, they just straight up accuse him of being Andrew Dice Clay fake. Because his shtick is very similar. It's funny, though. It is really funny. And unfortunately, Dice got, like, I remember the, fuck, it's been 15, 20 years, but he was trying to do a comeback thing, and he got real pissy during the interview. And, I think there are a lot of problems. I think as far as stand-up goes, a lot of these guys are really, really funny. And, you know, like sitting in the green room, I won't give names, but like certain comedians are really focused on where they're going next, how they handle the fucking, the different clubs, different guys that are promoting shit. Other comedians don't talk about it as much. You do notice that. And you know, and other people are talking about the craft and stuff. I was able to talk to Kurt quite a bit about it because I've been, you know, kicking around doing stand-up, as many of you are aware. He was able to give me a lot of advice, but like sitting in a room hearing a bunch of people just talking about it was really good for just getting an idea of how their brains work on it. There are a lot of unfunny people in comedy. A lot of people. Let's put it this way. I've pretty much written a minute that I could do on Kill Tony that would crush it, I think. But I haven't done stand-up, so I'm in this spot where I'm like, I need to give it a whirl, but, you know, I just fucked around in front of my friends. But if I hit that minute, I don't think I could follow it up. Not without a lot of practice and stuff. So it's almost like you get in there and you get your foot in the door. You get a few viral clips. You get 50,000 followers on 3 different platforms. And then that's it. Oh, you think Kurt sucks? No, I think Kurt's hilarious, dude. I think Kurt's absolutely hilarious. You know, Portlandia was good. I liked Parks and Rec a little better, but Portlandia was hilarious. It's just Portlandia felt a little on the nose because I live in Spokane. So I live in the redneck part of Washington, the part that's close to Idaho. So we already kind of laugh at Portland and Seattle, like a lot. Like it can be hard to articulate the jokes about them because we say them so much that it ends up going the other way. I mean, you know, fucking coasties, for fuck's sake, we even call them, is like a stupid little joke. Oh, thank you. Muchas gracias. Let's scroll down here. Thanks, Effenstein. You're giving out de-dunking memberships. Hearing Dan say Jesus Christ makes me wonder if he's cursing himself. Look, I don't want to be sacrilegious, but if you want someone to save your soul, I will charge you 5% instead of 10% of your income, and I will offer you equal amounts of evidence that I can do so. Just so you're aware. I could be, you know, I'm not going to be able to say for certain that I can do it, but I can say many are called, few are chosen, even fewer less choose to send me your money. So half of your paycheck and your soul is saved. Well, half of the normal price, half of what that Jesus guy charges. He wants 10%, I'll take 5. All right, 5% of your paycheck each week, and the devil won't be able to tickle you when you go pee. Yeah, take my word on that one. I watched the whole thing too. It was pretty good. You hear about the California Tick, the Lone Star's cousin? No, not yet, but fuck, dude. That's the last thing I need. I don't want nothing to do with that. Why did I have to allow the membership? I know it's a terrible thing. Then that sucks because I cannot afford membership, so I'll take the gifts. Oh, Effenstein, thanks. Yeah, look at that. You got new members. All right. Yeah, again, sorry, this is more of just hanging out and drinking afterwards and laughing. The sunsets and sunrise of the smoke is pretty fucking lame, to be honest with you. Yeah, Theo Vaughn's great. Theo's hilarious. Pat O'Neill, he's up and coming dude. He's really funny. His fucking, I was at the one, his thing's been going viral lately, but I was at the one when he first dropped it where he said, my girl said she wants to role play. So I said, okay, lay down. We'll pretend we're on the beach and you just got stung really bad on the face by a jellyfish. God damn it, dude. What the hell's wrong with you, boy? That's just funny, man. He says some of the funniest stuff in comedy right now. Some of the funniest little one-liner jokes like that are really good. Kurt kills me, honestly. Like, a lot of his jokes really, really, really get... The fun, dude, it's the one of his, like, if you look him up, you'll find this joke first, usually, but it's so funny, dude. And this is what I mean by stuff that you could say is racy or whatever, but this is so fucking hilarious. Where he says, you don't want to call trans women women? Well, I'll do you one better. I'll call them better than women. I don't know how many of you watch sports, but I think I used to think women sucked, but now they're getting stronger and faster and smart. It's like, God damn it, dude. One of the funniest fucking jokes that I've ever fucking seen. And Kurt Metzger is hilarious, dude. Kurt is so funny. All right. Let's scroll back here. Yeah, Pat's great. What's your take on the Lost Bird Diaries and Agrathur and meeting the master? I haven't seen that, Dick. I apologize. Kurt, I got the notif and then got distracted. No, it's all right, dude. I'm just chilling, man. Today I'm not pulling up a bunch of videos and shit. I'm just kind of just hanging out for like an hour or so. It's kind of like I said, it's like an after party. It was a lot of fun. I had a shitload of fun hanging out with Kurt and Duncan. And I figured that I would probably have a handful of new subscribers, mostly because of Duncan's fans. But you know, I've been on Derp with Kurt a couple of times already, so I figure his fans are already aware of me. Oh, thank you. What do I think of Semantics? I had the impression that the ancient temples were built by people who knew about it, like the Semantics. Let me look up exactly what you're talking about here, so I don't talk out my ass. I know a lot of this stuff, but I also don't know everything. Oh, the study of the visible sound. Okay, like sound waves you're talking about. Yes. This is something that, like, honestly, that it makes perfect sense to me. There is no reason that sound waves couldn't, there's no reason that the ancients couldn't do this, all right? You can think of low-tech means for this stuff, right? And so any time that I can think of a low-tech means to accomplish something, dude, I have no problem believing great-great-great-grandpa figured this shit out and maybe even did it on a higher tech means. But just all they would need would be like a fucking, like a big horn that they made out of a, like a hollowed out log, and then like a flat metal plate, right? And they just put a bunch of sand on that and they do the same shit we do. So yeah, I have no problem with them using the cymatics. If that's what, I assume that's what you're referring to, right? I just want to make sure. But yeah, okay, yes. All right, cool. Yeah, see, that makes total sense to me. Makes total sense to me. All right, let's scroll back here and make sure I've got that right. Yeah, okay. I like Kurt because he's actually funny and correct. Yeah, I was already subbed to you from Derp. Exactly. Thank you, Dick. I appreciate that. Most of my favorite comedians are decent writers. Yeah, they're like joke grenades. I forget who said that first, but that was one of my favorites. There's so many really old ones that I saw that it's like I remember them and could rip them off, but they're not mine. Like one of my favorites was this dude says that, you know, the difference between a male sex drive and a woman's sex drive, and this is fucking old. This is like in the 80s. I saw this. He said the difference between a male sex drive and a female sex drive is really, really obvious. It's like the difference between we both have bullets, but men fire ours from a gun and women throw theirs. He says, you don't believe me? Go watch women at the strip club. And all the dudes dancing on the stage and all the women are dancing on the stage. And go watch men at the strip club. Fucking lions watching gazelles. That shit, I wish I could remember who said that. That shit was funny as fuck, dude. That shit was funny as fuck. What do you think about crop circles? I think some of them are broomsticks. I think this is what happens with so many deals like that. I think that's the mysteries on these kinds of things you end up getting, like, okay. Every now and again, you get some of them that have, like, radiation and shit, according to all the reports. And this is where it gets funny, because they don't let you trust the science in these cases. You're not allowed to trust this science, boys. But we sent out a scientist, and he says there's radiation in a crop circle. You need to tell that fucking quack to get back in the GIMP box. So... And this is where these things get mysterious, you know. It's honestly like I had a whole lot less belief in conspiracies and cover-ups when I started doing the YouTube than I do now. It's like I think most of the rank and file people are just falling into position, but I do think it's quite clear in certain cases that there's some things that they're hiding. Some things we just don't get to talk about. Oh, Conan O'Brien's hilarious. Dude, Conan O'Brien's not just hilarious as a writer. He's fucking hilarious in his ability to read people and to go with the push and pull in a conversation is like unmatched. Like Johnny Carson would be begging to be that good. And Carson was fucking good. But if you don't believe me, watch the way Conan handles fucking Norm MacDonald. That's the best examples of that. He's just like, no, he gives Norm so much rope. Fuck, dude. The jokes Norm uses to use. Every now and again, Conan throws his fucking papers in the air, and it's Norm's quite often the reason why. Well, that was some of the best stuff on TV back in the days, man. Eddie Murphy was awesome back in the early days, dude. I loved Eddie Murphy a lot. Back to frequency, huh? Well, yeah, I mean, we could talk about frequency to a degree. I don't know enough about cymatics to weigh in heavily on it, but honestly, you know, I mean, here's the thing: if the ancients found that this pattern was made by sound, there's quite honestly would probably feel like it was, you know, they're trying to discern nature, but they'd also believe in magic. It just if that, and so where those overlap, you know, the how we you heard the saying that any science you can't understand is, you know, it is, can be called magic kind of thing. But even more than this, it's like, if you believe the universe around you operates on like this sympathetic magic level, which a lot of these societies did, like mistletoe is considered a fertility thing, because if you squish it, it looks like fucking sperm. The rabbits are fertility symbols, eggs are fertility symbols. This isn't complicated as to why. And so these things that are, it's like sympathetic magic, right? It's like it was just kind of believed that this is how it was. So if you made these symbols from the sound, I could see people feeling like this was some way to harness some magic or something like that. And in some cases, I mean, it quite honestly possibly could. Jared, I haven't looked into it enough to like really go off about the electric universe, but the electric universe theory is it has an uphill battle with me. I mean, I worked with enough electricity to have a problem with some of the talk about the way that they got polarity to begin with. But anyway, I will eventually do a video on it. I just haven't had the chance to really do that yet. Oh, thank you, Tiresia. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Tiresia. Do you think they could have redirected the flow of the Nile to fill the pyramids with wire to float the upper blocks into place? Oh, abso-fucking-lutely they could have. It's not my preferred theory, to be honest with you. I think that exterior ramp is honestly makes a lot of sense. But the thing is they definitely used water for a lot of things. And I honestly believe that like if you haven't heard before, my belief on the Sphinx is that you go back to the Green Sahara period, you go back to 10,000 BC, the Sphinx was, you could wade to it, all right, but it was presumably just an outcrop of rock according to the mainstream story, right? But at that point, it was an outcrop of rock that was pointed due east towards the rising sun, and that barely came out of the water. The ancient Egyptian, one of the creation myths is about a primordial mound, a first mound of dirt that came through the floodwaters. So I believe that this sky-ground connection with the water, I think the Sphinx, that outcrop of rock was a primordial mound. And I think that that's why it has an enclosure, is that over time they modified it because it was a sacred site. They modified it over and over. And when the area started to dry out, they dug it out in order to fill it with water and to keep the same symbolism going. And I think that's why it fell into disuse when they quit, because they couldn't get water into it anymore. So my point is, I think that they used water a whole lot. That Schitt's disk, if you guys aren't aware, I'll pull this up because I know that most of you will know what I'm talking about, but a few of you won't, and I want to make sure that we are all aware of this. Okay, this Schitt's disk is, let's just go. I got press buttons here. Sorry. Nope, that's the wrong one. Yeah, this right here. Okay, this thing. That thing cooks water. When they use that to drive water, yes, the Sabu disc, exactly. When they use that thing to drive water, it like works really fucking good. And I honestly think, you know, the ancient Egyptians were smart and the Nile was a big deal. I think that they were really, I think they used the sun and the water a lot. There's theories that I would love to test that I'm planning on testing in the near future. Okay, have you heard of the theory that the pyramids are made of concrete and not quarried stone? Yeah, I don't buy that one. There's too much stuff that they can prove about where they were quarried from. And generally speaking, these are the kinds of things that aren't You don't really have to debate these those things very much. They know where these ones were quarried from. So and that's, you know, that's what the pyramids are complicated, because there's clearly stuff going on there that outstrips the contemporaries by a fucking country mile, and the predecessors and the fucking descendants couldn't even imagine to do this shit for the longest ass time. But there's also no question there's a lot of work done on them in the fourth dynasty. Hey, Aid, how you doing? Water does some damage at high capacity. Maybe they pressure it into existence. Oh, it's quite possible, yeah. The CERN people claim they can time travel through vibrating reality the right way, slamming things together. Well, hell, dude. Oh, yeah, they absolutely moved a bunch of stuff by boat, for sure, Dylan, yeah. There's no question that there was a lot of the stuff involved in the pyramid that was moved by boat. There's no question that a lot of that stuff was done... excuse me, with water in general. Again, it's like, this would be the time of year when the place would like come to life. The rest of the time you wouldn't really, the place would be much more dead by comparison. I don't know who Tib Albertino is. I'll have to check him out. Time travel is real. They sent virtual parcels back in time. Well, fuck, I'll have to check that out. Bosnian pyramids, something obviously happened. Yeah, that's one of those ones that it's hard to research from. Every time I look into them, I end up like kind of running into brick walls. I didn't do a deep dive because I got a little frustrated out the gate. Excuse me. But yeah, the Bosnian and the Chinese pyramids, both, I need to put more effort into. I mean, do you know how fucking, like, at the last one of these Quests for Ancient Civilization conference, Luke Caverns showed the first time that I'd seen the pictures of the mummy that was inside of like the main pyramid at Teotihuacan. Fucking like jade mask and shit. Fucking cool as piss. And no photographs. I emailed the museum like 2 years ago. But Luke went down there and took pictures of it. My point is a lot of this stuff is just like, it isn't easy to research. What I think the Great Pyramid star shafts that originally pointed parallel when it reached outside of the structure instead of stars. Do you think the Great Pyramid star shafts that originally pointed parallel? I'm not sure. I mean, in all honesty, I think the star shafts and stuff, I think some of that might not even, some of the star shaft stuff might not be accurate. I'm a pretty firm believer in the Orion-Giza correlation, mostly because the Sphinx and the Nile line up with it. So that makes it a whole lot more, and it lines up with the mythology. You know, if Osiris wasn't Orion and Osiris wasn't part of their underworld and their resurrection stuff. I mean, I believe that the Egyptians had, I want to say 16 gates in the underworld. The one that everybody knows of is the, you've got your heart weighed against a feather, right? But there was numerous gates like this that you were supposed to go through for the afterlife, and there were cheats. You could take a scarab or a certain trinkets and beat different gates this way. And I believe that the pyramids were like, you know, high level cheats for the ultimate gates, right? They were, the Pharaoh is not going to fail to go to heaven just because he was boning all the prettiest girls in the land and stealing all the fucking shit from all of his people. That didn't mean he wasn't still going to heaven. See what I mean? I think that's what the pyramids were. And that's why I think that they were emulated and on Osiris. I think they were piss ass old. Now, this doesn't mean that they wouldn't have potential to do things like for example, the Land of Kims hypothesis. Okay. This does not mean by any stake that's like, you know, the Hoover Dam has a great big old star map in it, right? Does that star map mean that the dam was not made to make electricity and harness water? But does it also, was the dam made, you see what I'm saying? It can do both. All right, what was I seeing here? Dude, he's a Giants guy. He has lots more connections to elongated skulls. Oh, okay. I'll have to look into him. Thank you. Do I believe in the pyramids in Antarctica? I'm not a firm believer, but I'm not completely opposed to the idea. See, the thing is, when you get really deep into Antarctica, it changes. But this is something a lot of people aren't aware of. There's a thing called Antarctic Oasis. Oasis. Is that like the band, except for less British? Ergo, less gay. But the point is, dude, these things kind of go around the continent, and they're like fucking dry as piss, dude. They're like these big dry chunks of land. Penguins go kick it and stuff when they don't want to get their feet wet. The ice around there is a lot. Hypothetically, somebody like the Phoenicians could have mapped out chunks of Antarctica, could have built pyramids on Antarctica, hypothetically, without having to have done it a kajillion years ago. So, again, anytime the situations like that, I don't rule these things out. And I never rule them out to begin with. But, you know, like the way I put it to David Childress when I was talking to him was, you know, if you walk into this room and your keys are gone, and it's me and you sitting here talking, and you walked out of the room and walk back in and the keys are gone, and I say an alien ran in here and did it, or somebody else says a dog ran in here and did it, I mean, you know, odds are one of us stole your keys, right? One of the people in here. Now, it's, you know, there's a possibility a dog stole it. I suppose a possibility, but the highest possibility is a person did it, right? So that's where usually the way my brain works. We start at what makes sense. So I don't have problem ascribing a good possibility of there being structures in Antarctica or made by people, because it would have been like if somebody would have reached that area and found like this vast land of snow with this tiny little area that they could set up camp in, I could see them totally going fucking balls deep into that until they all died. Wouldn't be the first time. All right. Yeah, Bishop, thank you. I do my best to make people suspicious of archaeology. No, I don't want to make them suspicious of archaeology. The problem is, the archaeology is, by its nature, is kind of fucked up. And so, I it's sad, but I don't really know what to do about it, except for to call it out for not being scientific. Research the alien carvings from the towns north of Mexico City. No, I have not. I'm sorry to say. Dan, if you do, Dan, if you don't, you got that right. Yeah, Admiral Byrd, this is hypothetically, you could do anything. Do you think that the lost civilization is in North Europe or bad weather anywhere? I think that lost civilization is going to be all over the place. This is one thing I think it's I touched base on this near the end of the podcast there with the Mystery Boys. But I think it's very important to note that, just like now, you know, if we got 10,000 years from now, if we all got wiped out, they would be talking about all these different parts, and there would be memories of, you know, of the place that had the Eiffel Tower. There would be memories of the Statue of Liberty. There would be memories of the Kremlin. There'd be memories of all these different places, but they would be all twisted and convoluted and corrupted after, it took no time at all for the cargo cults to get everything twisted, right? So I think that you would have like these core parts that are true, but that you would have huge swaths of it that the details would get lost. So in other words, I think there's almost certainly if there was a time in Earth's history, which I believe there was, if there was a time in Earth's history when there was, during the Pleistocene, that people were more connected than it's given credit for, that there were seafarers that connected the old world and the new, and that trade existed at times throughout history between the old and new world that we don't give it credit for. I think that basically any place, just like today, any place that was, or maybe just like a few thousand years ago, any place that's viable to set up camp is going to be kind of sort of taken. Not completely, There are so many lost civilizations. They say it was the seventh. Yeah, it's possible. The Anunnaki. The Anunnaki is something I'm not a big believer in myself, but you know, I don't completely rule them out. They are. It gets to the outside of the ideas on it myself. Have you heard anyone support the theory that the Americas were originally populated from the south way back pre-Clovis? Well, yeah, I mean, the kelp highway hypothesis is, I'll just pull up a map of it real quick because we got the technology there, boys. But yeah, the kelp highway hypothesis is just that. It's, come on. Here we go. That thing right there, you see the map there, how it's got, you got your Clovis chunk going down through there, yeah? But then you've got your other bit going down across the coast. And you see there's a coastal route, these red arrows. But even they've got a possible route from Europe 24,000 to 18,000 years ago. I mean, you see, and this is a National Geographic education blog. Okay, so we're not a bunch of fucking crackpots. And the problem is when the second we say, you know, ancient high technology or Anunnaki or something, they can call us crackpots. But this fundamental thing here, there's the fundamental idea that there was contact between the old and new world is being more and more borne out every fucking day. And it's insane. It's honestly insane. That it's not being more, that it takes this much, this is much of an uphill battle still to get it, people to understand that. Yeah, I think the kelp highway ocean migration theory is pretty ancient too. Oh, you know, we'll give this, yeah, thank you guys. Yes, Dave's always pimping me out here. Press all the buttons, woo-hoo-hoo. I'll do this for about another 8 minutes or so, and then it'll have been a full hour. And I just planned on going for an hour after the thing. I wanted again to give new people to the channel a chance to check me out if they weren't bored of me already. Dr. Damon Hillman, I'll look into it. I haven't checked him out yet, but I haven't dug into him much yet, but yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to interviewing him. Yeah, cocaine mummies are proof that one of the funniest things about the cocaine mummies that fucking infuriates me. Okay, you got the original nine, Munich nine. She goes, Svetlana goes, she tests these nine mummies. They come back positive for cocaine. Then they're like, let's replicate these tests. And then nobody is allowed to test those nine mummies again. Well, you can test other mummies. No problem. We got other mummies you can take a look at, but not those ones. It's like, how the fuck are we supposed to do replicability here? And so one of my favorite, funniest, stupidest things when you talk about science, they test other mummies. Say, well, these mummies didn't have any cocaine in them, so those ones probably didn't either. And I need these guys as defense attorneys. Your Honor, I know when we tested Mr. Richards, his urine came back positive for drugs, but we tested his neighbor. His neighbor was clean. So, I mean, come on. It's like, what the fuck, dude? How the fuck do people buy this shit? This is the kind of shit that they fucking locked me up for 10 years for, right? This is a fucking retarded. But there we are. Yeah, I mean, come on, man. And then there's so many of the little fucking things with the cocaine mummies, like the huge amount of difference between the mummies in South America, right near the plants, and the mummies in Egypt that were found with them, the Egyptian ones that were, you know, a long ways away. They find it in, like, the infants that would be using mom's breast milk. They find it there in really trace amounts, like they were getting it from breast milk. So, in South America. It looks really compelling. I mean, it really does look very compelling. So, But they shut it down, like everything. Like trying to find which fucking elongated skulls Rockefeller played around with. Homo floresiensis past the Wallace line. Who you calling a homo? Past the Wallace line. You guys are about to get a karaoke. Oh, you're talking about the little hobbits. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This is one of the coolest things ever. You're talking about little hobbit dudes. Yeah, these are great. One of the most frustrating fucking problems with this, or not problems, but one of the... what hobbits are okay, giants aren't. You can't have a 7'3" human, even though we have those. But Tyrion Lannister's fine. Robert Wadlow is not. Robert Wadlow is like the 8-foot, kajillion feet tall guy from Alton, Illinois. So yeah, that's a weird one to me because, you know, we lived in a time, we did live in a time when there were a bunch of different species of hominid, you know, bumping uglies with each other. And I recently covered it in a video, which didn't get very many views, but that is what it is. It's about the Neanderthal. There was a cave that they found that where Neanderthal were there. They had a culture. The Neanderthal were displaced by Homo sapiens, and the same culture continued, but the species changed. That's wild because clearly they were in contact with each other when they were. And that's some Lord of the Rings shit, right? These fucking humans and dwarves all kicking it together, and eventually one of them dies off, but the other one still remembers it. I mean, this is pretty interesting shit. Any Appalachia Magellan's interesting theory? I don't know about that one, Trish. I apologize. Colchicán, yeah, I know Colchicán and Giza. Those are interesting places, clearly. Talking about Flint, the little hobbit. Yes, you know, it's funny how much Kurt loves to throw rocks at that guy and Professor Dave. He sees the shit those guys give me. Kurt's not like... Kurt's a lot like me in those regards. If you find him on Twitter, it was who's that fucking dude? The Quartery. Apparently, like he's fallen afoul of a bunch of people. I don't know, man. I follow internet drama a little bit, but dude, holy fuck! He's going on there with the Quartery, and he just goes in there. Hey, bitch, I hope you have a horrible day, you fucking asshole. It's like, what the fuck? So, yeah, the kind of shit I would do. So, who's texting me? Don't you know I'm live streaming? What the fuck's wrong with you? Somebody's sending me videos for inspiration. They have money and systems. They need old bones and rocks. Dickenstein. They need everything. Okay. I'm well endowed for a hobbit. Yeah, you know, I'm not. I'm pretty good for a hobbit, too. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm short. Not too short. I'm like 5'11". I would be 6 foot, maybe even 6 foot 1 if it's on a dating app. But 5'11 normally, but, you know, in real life. Yeah, dude. Yeah, exactly, Jeremy. That's dude. Yeah, Kurt just fucking burnt, just flaming the dude. You're like, ah, fuck you, you piece of shit. And it's like, oh yeah, that's how I treat people too. So anyway, I know Kurt sees me screaming at motherfuckers. Have I ever thought into looking at a grand gallery counterweight involving the evidence backing up? Yeah, that is an interesting one, Dylan. The idea that the grand gallery was basically a way for them to use a counterweight to pull blocks up into the thing. It's an interesting idea. What we really need, and we're getting close to getting the technology. I wouldn't be surprised if before we croak that we'll see it, that we need to be able to see the blocks. Like if we could see the makeup of it, I think we could easily tell how it was built. Right. But looking at just the parts that we can see and not knowing what's underneath, it makes it really difficult. And well, that's, you know, it's just sad. 5 foot 11 inches long. Oh no, man, that's not horses, dude. So yeah, I'm watching the mystery. Okay, I'll give you a couple of stories here. First of all, the mystery boys, why I was naked. So I show up there at like, I'm supposed to be there at 1:00. I show up there at like 12:20. I'd been drinking pretty heavily the night before, and it was like 113 degrees outside or some absurd temperature. I've got water and Gatorade, but I'm hot. And so I go hide, and I text Kurt, and I'm like, hey, I've got an address we show up at, and there's all these fucking units. So I text Kurt, and I'm like, hey, bro, which unit are we at? And he's like, I think this number. I'm not really sure, but I'm sorry. I'll be there soon. Well, I go find that unit and go find a picnic table in the back that's in the shade and sit down there for a minute because I don't know if it's the right place or not. So I'm sitting down there, and it's just, I'm still burning. It's 108 in the shade, and I'm just roasting. And I start pouring water on myself, and I take my shirt off, and I take my shoes and socks off because I am worried I'm going to get heat stroke. I mean, I am cooking. And then the two girls that are like in their mid-20s that work at the place come walking out to take a break. And yeah, luckily, it was the right place. But fuck me, man. I look like a goddamn homeless dude in their back 40. Absolutely. Only thing missing was either the cup or the bend or the crack pipe. But anyway, that part was pretty, that part was fun. But, you know, what do you do? You have, it is what it is. But there were some other things that were pretty funny about the whole endeavor to, like, I'll go ahead and read some more comments because I'm getting past where I'm supposed to be. Large groups of humans shouldn't be living in Arizona. This is fair. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. I almost cooked myself. It was pretty brutal. But then we got in there and had a pretty good time and stuff. And it all worked out. But, yeah, I'm definitely... It was funny because I got back to Spokane. We got these fires here, which, I mean, if you guys haven't seen that on the news, man, we're like, fucking Spokane's on fire up in here, man. Big fucking time. And it's crazy. Yeah, Dan, I'm not homeless just from Spokane. Exactly. I'm close to Spokane, but I'm close to homeless, but not quite. Before the invention of AC, nobody lived in Arizona. That's probably accurate. I mean, there was like probably 3 Native American tribes that lived there. And by tribes, I mean like groups of 20 people. And they were all like sweaty and hot. And by sweaty, I mean they played Fortnite all day long. All right. I think I'm going to call it a night, my friends. I really appreciate you guys. Thanks so much. Oh, your mom's in Moses Lake? That's another place nobody wants to live without air conditioning. You can get away with the fucking swamp cooler in those places. Smelled like balls. What? Who's smelling my balls? Jesus Christ, dude. Trying to have a fucking... Yeah, we have... Exactly, Jason. Exactly. Arsonists. The Native Americans and tribes in Arizona had air conditioning. Clearly they did. Have you not seen their crystals? They fucking... Those little blue tourmaline things make magic air better. Thanks so much. You appreciate you guys. Love you all to death. Be safe. Don't be any small animals and stuff. Be well. And,